Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Empower Your Life Summit. We're so grateful you decided to join us for this and give yourself the gift of the time of these incredible interviews. These women who are the authors of our upcoming book, Empower Your Life, are here to share themselves with you. They really love helping other people. They're following their passion, actually, by doing this. And so what they're doing is sharing what they've lived through, you know, some of their experiences. They're sharing some of the things they've learned in life, and they're doing it so that you can feel more empowered in your own life as you listen to this summit and bring these teachings into your life. I'm Sue Erta. I'm your host for this event. I'm the publisher for Power for You Publishing, and it really is my honor to be talking with all of these authors. And today, I'm very happy to be talking with Barbara Pavitz. I'm going to read a brief introduction of Barbara, and then we'll get started talking with her. Barbara is a certified master sound healer and teacher, biofield practitioner, Reiki master teacher, retired certified equine sports massage therapist, and a passionate animal lover. Barbara is a born intuitive. She recalls practicing energy healing on her pets at the age of 5. Her gifts of clairvoyance, clairsentience, and clairaudience were exponentially heightened after suffering a traumatic brain injury from a car accident. After years of chronic pain and cognitive problems, Barbara was divinely guided to sound healing, which dramatically improved her health and led her to help others. Today, Barbara offers sound healing and meditation sessions for individuals and groups. She belongs to the International Academy of Sound Healing, Sound Healers Association, and Reiki Membership Association. And Barbara, I really am happy to be talking with you today. How are you?
Hi, Sue. I'm great. Thank you for having me. This is an exciting moment for me.
It is exciting, and I'm excited to bring this topic to people, too, because sound healing is something that some people have heard of and some have not. And the topic that you chose, the magic of sound healing, our universal language, is really profound, because I know that you know that there's magic in it because you've experienced it, and I know you're going to be sharing some of that with our audience. So I'm excited to hear more about it. It's funny, I'm saying the word here, and I'm thinking sound, and there's so much to this, you know. But I'd love for you to start, if you would, by sharing a little bit about your personal journey and how it led you to where you are today.
Thank you. I would love to do that. You know, sound healing seems to be coming out of nowhere all of a sudden, and many, many people look to more holistic approaches now than ever before. So I'm really excited about that. My own journey started when I was in a car accident about 20 years ago now, which is a large portion of my life. I had been at work, and I picked up my son, and I drove home, and I was about to pull into my driveway. And a neighbor who had been, I could see in my rear view mirror, was very quickly coming up behind me throughout several stops that I made getting to my home. And as I pulled into the driveway, she tried to pass me on the right-hand side as I made my right turn into the driveway, and she broadsided me. And that was the end of life as I had known it forever, today included. So, you know, it was, there's not a lot that I remember specifically about that. I get little flashes of memory where I remember helping my son out of the car and things that happened immediately thereafter. And then it seemed to be okay. But a week to the day after the accident, everything changed. I had pain that shot up from the middle of my spine up my neck, into my brain. It made me hit the floor. I was at work. And I went to the hospital. They told me I was fine. I went to my doctor. He told me I was having a muscle spasm. He gave me a prescription. And that started a long road of no answers. I suffered with dystonia. I had numbness down both arms. I couldn't read or add for a year. I would have thought I was really going crazy, except that someone had referred me to a neuropsychologist, and he confirmed the fact that I had a traumatic brain injury, a closed head concussion, and I was so grateful for that man, because without him, I don't know what I would have done. I searched many different doctors. I went to neurologists. I went to neurosurgeons. I was hoping someone could fix me. I just wanted the fix. Medications and pills don't work for me. It's not something I ever have enjoyed taking. They don't really relieve your pain. I don't know if you've ever had to take pain medication. It doesn't really relieve pain. It just kind of makes you dull. It just makes you kind of dull. But there was so much that went on. I wound up having to sleep in the dark and stay in the dark for a number of months, probably for about 2 months, because any sound at all, even a whisper, even my son, and I do remember, because it broke my heart, but I couldn't allow myself to cry because the sound of any sound that I would even make myself would shoot that screaming pain through my body. So my son came in once he was 4, and I remember to this day, and he said, "Mommy, can I bring you a drink of water?" And he whispered it because he knew. Oh, it was awful. So, you know, all of my routine with my son was changed. You know, I used to read to him every night. He was a really good reader by the age of 4, and that's the age he was when this happened. That whole routine of nightly reading was gone. When I was able to actually even look at written words, everything vibrated. But I got past that at some point, and it was months later, when I could actually read the words, but I had no recall. So I could sit down and say, read the book that says The Cat in the Hat. And you could hold that in front of me, and I could read the words. Don't forget, that took months to accomplish. But then if you took the book away, I had no way to tell you what you just put in front of me. I had no recall at all. That was horrifying, really horrifying. I had no cognitive ability to speak of. Forming sentences was difficult, and I stumbled over my words, and I had balance issues. You know, the list goes on. It was really crazy. Who would think, you know, who would have ever thought that something like that in one instant would just change your world? So,
wow.
You know, my husband.
How
my
long
husband
did that go
upset.
On?
Oh, my gosh. The first year was the worst. The first year was the worst. When I first had tested for, you know, week to week with this particular neuropsych, I asked him, I said, "What will happen? How will I get past this? What do I have to do?" I mean, I would have done anything. And he said, "Really, you really won't know for about a year." I thought, oh, my gosh, a year. I didn't know that some of it would come back. And it kind of came back in dribs and drabs. But I never, you know, I never just gave up. I had black days. And believe me, I know what that is like. I had days, but I never thought that I ever had any hope of being able to live a life of normalcy, any kind of normalcy. And I had those days. I'm sure everyone has them, but it was pretty crazy.
And so how did you find sound healing?
I'm sorry?
And how did you find sound healing?
Well, it was very interesting. Many years later, when I was still going through all kinds of neurological problems, I would have episodes of dystonia and so forth, I was able to read, so I got on the computer and I was looking at a website that was about golden retrievers, and an ad popped up, and the ad was for sound healing, and it was someone who was using crystal bowls. You know, I'm a musician. My love of music and my love of animals has always been with me from birth, and it just kind of struck me, and I said, I'll try that. You know, I tried chiropractic and every other traditional medicine, acupuncture, trigger point injections. I ran the gamut of trying anything that would help me. So I said, you know, why not? And that really did make a difference. I went weekly, and everyone there would lay on a yoga mat, but I couldn't lay down. I couldn't lay down flat for 3 years after the accident. I used to sleep propped up. So it was an accomplishment that I could lay flat on a massage table. And so the woman running the sessions would have the massage table set up and was kind enough to leave it up so that each week I could use that. And that went on for about 6 months. And at that point, she said, "I can't use the table anymore. It's taking up too much space. You know, you're going to have to lay on the floor." I thought, yeah, no, I don't think I can do that, but I'll try it. And I really felt awkward about it because, you know, some of the people that came to the group knew that I had been up on the table, and I thought, oh, people are going to be paying attention. You always think people notice more than they truly do. So I tried the floor, and it was painful. It was very painful. It was hard. My arms would be completely numbed out. I would have pain, but yet focusing on the sound let me, I'll say, push through it, for lack of a better phrase, but it helped me to get through it. And it was okay. And I did that again for, oh gosh, it got easier as time went on, but I did that again for a number of months. But I was on the floor. I didn't quite get into a nice, deeply relaxed meditative state because the pain would bring me back. So I kind of drift off and come back. But I stuck with it because I noticed that it was affecting me in some very positive ways. I was more relaxed. I was a little more focused. My thoughts didn't seem so jumbled. And then she tried the Tibetan singing bowls. Those came in as something new that she was using herself, and she was offering private sessions. So, of course, I jumped in on that. And the very first time that those bowls were struck around my head, it was as if, this is going to sound very cliche, but it was really like coming home. It was that profound a change. I felt like my everything just absorbed it. My whole being absorbed those vibrations. And that was the beginning of my road to sound healing, specifically with those Tibetan singing bowls. And believe it or not, now that we're talking at least 13 years post-accident, that's how long, it's a long time to live with all that. But 13 years later, and only 12 weeks after being engrossed in the Tibetan singing bowls, I was actually attending a weekend to learn how to play them. That is something I could never have dreamed of even a year before.
Wow. Wow, you were so moved to do it that you wanted to learn how to help yourself and other people with it.
I had to help other people because where I had come from, all I could think of was how many people are out there just like me, that I found someone who somewhat gave me an idea of what had happened. But how many other people didn't have that man? How many people? I ran into someone. I remember going to the going to have my car fixed after that accident and having to wait. And my husband drove me there, and we took the car, and I was waiting in the office at the repair shop, and the body repair shop, and a man came in, and he looked kind of off, and he started to talk to the person behind the desk, and he said, you know, I don't know what happened, and he kind of laughed about it, but he was embarrassed. He said, no, I got lost coming here. He said, I don't understand it. I know where I am, and I knew exactly that he had the same closed head concussion, the same TBI syndrome, because I got lost going to my dentist. I mean, you really, it's a scary thing. And when you start to recognize it, but don't have any answers, that's pretty horrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, that man really saved me. He saved me by giving it a name, you know?
Yeah. Wow, that's great. You know, so Barbara, I would love to talk about sound healing a little bit because I think that there are probably some people on the call that don't know exactly what it is. So can you tell us what it is?
I can. It's not just the sound, it's also the vibration. You know, everything has a frequency, and we're vibrational beings. So we have a vibration. The table that's next to you has a vibration. Everything that you see around you has some type of frequency and vibration, and anything that moves creates that as well. So when you play these bowls, and there are this certain protocol for certain things, but you also very intuitively play them, and when you use these bowls around the body and sometimes on the body, it is remarkable to see the changes, and they can be sometimes instantaneous, and they can be physical changes, they can be emotional changes. Would you like me to tell you maybe one or two experiences I've had with either a group or a private session?
Sure. That would be wonderful.
Okay. I hosted a group session once, and it was not in my home. It was someone else's home. It was about 10 women. And when I host a group, I don't ask any questions. There's no intake information and so forth. So all these women came in and got settled, and there was one woman who came in last, and I knew or had heard that she was from out of state and she was visiting, and she had MS. So she was coming up and she had her crutches that she was walking with, and everyone was just, the energy was really great, I have to say. And I noticed that sometimes there's an actual theme within a group that needs to be addressed. Sometimes it's an emotional thing. Sometimes it's a chakra issue. Sometimes it's a physical issue. This group, it seemed to be physical issues. And it's truly remarkable how connected we all are. So I hosted the group. The hour is over. And then I invite people to share their experience if they are so inclined. So I had two people there. They both happened to be nurses. And each of them separately had had knee replacement surgeries. And I find that to be a common factor with nurses, I guess because they're on their feet so often. But they had had numbness from the knee down the leg since their surgeries. And they both said that the first thing they noticed was that the numbness was gone when they came back from their nice meditation and their deep, deep place wherever they go. Everyone goes to a different place when you have this. It's lovely. It slows the brain, and it's just so empowering. When you come back, you're relaxed, but you're energized. So
wow.
The last person to speak was the woman who had come with the MS. And she sat up, and she started to cry. And she said, the first thing I noticed was that my foot was straight for the first time. That's the first time in 3 years when her one foot, when she came in, was at a 90-degree angle. It hadn't been straight for 3 years. That's amazing.
Wow.
And I've seen other things like that. So I'm not saying I can cure anything, but I will tell you that the body recognizes the vibrations, and that's just in a group session. That's not even a private session. It's powerful.
That's very powerful, very incredible. Wow, Barbara, this is amazing, because sound healing is something I was exposed to just a few years ago, and I've been around for a long time. I've known things about healing, but I learned a little bit about it just a few years ago, and I find it incredible. And I know for me personally, when I've heard someone playing the bowls, the Tibetan bowls, boy, I get this incredible feeling inside my body. So I hope that our mm-hmm. listeners will decide to experience this for themselves too. You know, in the time you've known about the sound healing and you've been working with people, have you found that there are any misconceptions or myths that people have about sound healing?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. When you first mention, you know, you're a sound healer, people are very intrigued. But then you mention Tibetan singing bowls and gong and tuning forks, and they get this look, oh, it's a woo-woo thing, or it's kind of an out-there thing, which really couldn't be further from the truth. You know, the bells, the bowls are like upside down bells, and bells have been used in religions all around the world for thousands of years, for centuries. You know, I think sound was first used in China in 2000 BC. Those Tibetan bowls have been around for over 5,000 years. But I think people are naturally skeptical, you know, of things that they're not familiar with. So I just can't say enough about them. You know, sound healing's been around forever. And I usually talk to them a little bit about it, and then they come around.
Yep, that's great. I love that because it's, you know, I like that people are open to different things, and I know that sound healing is really important. You know, Barbara, you experience a lot of physical pain, and along with that, some emotional pain. Will you tell us, why is feeling your emotional pain so important?
Oh, gosh. You know, burying your pain takes a lot of energy. It blocks your energy that flows through your whole system. It lowers your vibration. It just brings you down. And that's happening all the time, every minute of every hour of every day. When you use sound healing, it really connects you to your heart. And feelings can just spontaneously release. Sometimes things come up that people have completely forgotten about. And, you know, when you bury those things, you're hiding a part of yourself. And if you're doing that, you really can't be living your truth or stepping into your own power. So facing your feelings is really important. You need to do that to release them. You know, then you're truly living a passionate and a free life.
Absolutely. And because unless we feel them, we can't release them.
Exactly.
Yeah, wow. So, you know, Barbara, this has been great. I have totally loved talking to you today and learning about this from you. And I know that you have so much that you would like to share, and I wish we had more time too, but Will you share some final words and thoughts with our listeners?
Absolutely. You know, if you stayed with us this long, I want to thank you for listening. I do have a free gift for you. You can find that on my website. It is lowercase, the letter I, the letter M, like Mary, the number 4, sound.com. IM4sound.com. It will be available on March 20th, which is the day that Empower Your Life launches, the very big day. And I just want to say, never, ever give up. You know, you've gotten through this so far. Here you are today. You've gotten through everything. Give yourself some credit for what you've lived through and experienced. And know that everything changes and you always have opportunities.
I love that. That's so true. We've made it through our best and our worst days so far, and we can do this. So thank you so much, Barbara. I so appreciate you being part of this project. I really appreciate you sharing your story. I'm so happy that you are feeling better in your life and that you have found a path that really resonates with you and that you're living it and sharing that with so many other people. And, you know, thank you so much for sharing your story in the book, too. It's really awesome, and I know our listeners are going to love reading it. Thanks so much.
Oh, I hope so. Thank you. It's brought me a lot of joy working with you. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. And listeners, thank you for being a part of this, too, because as you work and empower in your own life, then you spread that to other people and you give them the feeling that they can do it, too. So thank you for working on yourself, being yourself, stepping into your own power and doing more of that. And continue to listen to this summit. Be sure to buy the book, Empower Your Life, on launch day, which is March 20th. And then you'll get lots of free gifts from our partners and authors. So stay tuned for those emails to let you know about that on March 20th, which is our launch day. Continue to have a beautiful day, everybody, and continue to be open to learn. Thank you so much. Bye-bye for now.